For 91.3 WUKY News, I'm Dr. Greg Davis on medicine. Social media is a part of our everyday lives, and like any tool, can be used to help or harm. My guest today will talk about how social media can be used to better educate physicians and interact with our patients in new ways. My guest today is Dr. Jared Gardner, Associate Professor of Pathology at the University of Arkansas and a pioneer in using social media platforms to educate and consult with doctors and also with patients. Tell me about your becoming aware of the potential power of these modalities and going forward, what you think we need to be doing as a profession.
Well, I guess it's a long story, but I'll give a summary version. I gave a few lectures back in 2013 and 2014 about what I was doing with social media, and there were packed audiences of pathologists wanting to learn about this, which made me realize there was really a need and an interest that people wanted to know how to use social media professionally. And then the other two experiences that really convinced me that this was something we should do is I created two pathology discussion groups in 2013, one for DermPath and one for bone and soft tissue pathology. And thousands of pathologists and other people from all over the world joined and started sharing cases and discussing cases. And it was an amazing place not only for me to teach, which is why I created it, but for me to learn as a pathologist from other people's cases. And so I thought that that was wonderful. And there are a lot of collaborations that have come out of those groups now. And then the second thing is I joined some patient support groups for rare tumors, for sarcomas, and I'm in about a dozen or so of those. And interacting with those patients and hearing their stories, I've had a chance to explain pathology terms and what we do and what the things that we say in reports actually mean to patients. Just the other day, someone was asking me, what is a mitotic count and what is necrosis and, you know, things like that. But also, more importantly probably, is that I've learned from those patients what the disease experience is like, and it's made me a more conscientious and compassionate pathologist, and it's made me realize there's a great need for rare disease awareness, and that we as pathologists are perfectly positioned to educate patients and to partner with them, whether for research, advocacy, awareness, all those things. It's a perfect partnership to have those powerful patient stories partnered with our professional knowledge of disease, and I think that we make a great team. So I really think that going forward, that's the future that I see, is that pathologists can be interacting with cancer patients and other disease patients and helping them, and they help us, and we all together are improving patient care and the future of medicine.
You know, a burden shared is a burden lessened, and so I see two great facets here that you've just described as, number one, essentially crowdsourcing problematic cases so that fellow pathologists and clinicians can help, whether we're in Lexington or Little Rock or wherever, answer questions that we may have on an arcane or unusual type of presentation of an illness. And then there's that other facet of really bringing the physician directly into contact with the patient in ways that we probably couldn't have dreamed of 20 years ago.
I totally agree. That's a great way to summarize it. I think there's a huge ability for us to easily and freely help people, particularly people in the developing world that may not have access to the ancillary testing we have here in the United States, and not have access to the expertise, or maybe not be able to afford to come to a pathology meeting to get the education that I'm drowning in a sea of textbooks and journals and lectures. And, you know, it seems like, well, information is so overwhelmingly available, but that's because of where I live and the environment that I'm in. And I've met many pathologists in other countries, Afghanistan, Iraq, Sub-Saharan Africa, Nepal, and those people are practicing medicine and doing the best they can, and they have so little resources compared to what I have. And it's made me really feel a great need that we in the developed world really need to reach out and help our colleagues abroad. And this is an easy way to do it that doesn't require a plane ticket or a month away from my family and my job. I can do it in my spare time from my home on my smartphone and or at my lunch break, which is, to me, that's incredible.
I'm speaking today with Dr. Jared Gardner, faculty member at the University of Arkansas School of Medicine, about ways of using social media in medicine. So we think of things like Twitter, which I know you're heavily involved in, Facebook as well. What other platforms are you using or thinking about for the future?
So I, in addition to those two, I use Instagram. I think it's really well suited for pathologists because it's all about pictures. It's visual, and so we share pictures. And I think there are a lot of users, particularly kind of a younger generation of users that use Instagram. And I think it's a nice way to inspire the future. In fact, recently there was a pre-medical undergrad student who followed me, and I started interacting with her, and she mentioned she was interested in a career in pathology, and she had been diagnosed with a disease before. And so we got to talking, and she asked, well, can I call you and talk about a career in pathology? And this is someone who's not even in med school yet at that point. And so we had like a 45-minute phone conversation about what it's like to be a pathologist. And she's now in medical school, and we just emailed like last week about how she wants to get set up with doing some observerships and doing some research. And so I'm really, my fingers are crossed. I hope that she really does go into pathology. She'll be my first Instagram recruiting success story. So I think that it's a nice thing not only for education, but also it recruiting the younger generation and showing them not only that medicine, but, you know, all of the STEM kind of careers are cool and interesting and fascinating and something that they should think about. And I think we definitely need more of that. We need more of an inspirational component to help the junior generations, the younger people, decide that this is what they want to do with their life when they grow up.
And really, at its heart, these platforms, no matter whether it's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, are just ways really of extending our eyes, our voice, and our reach to our students, our patients, and our colleagues.
That is a beautiful way to say it, and I think that's what the hardest time I have is convincing kind of more old school thinkers, not necessarily old age, but old school mindset that we're already teaching, we already have the content, and we teach a lecture hall of students. Why wouldn't we want to share that content broadly, globally, in a digital platform that allows thousands or tens of thousands of people to benefit from it at very little extra work or effort put in? And it's not just like giving away stuff for free. It's actually given me tons of career benefits. It's helped me get promoted. I used data from social media when I applied for promotion and tenure last year, and I got accepted. I've gotten invites to meetings. So there's plenty of, you know, self-interested benefits for me. That's not the main reason I do it, but there's lots of benefits for me from doing this. And it takes, I mean, I spend a lot of time doing it, but I think for most people, it wouldn't really take that much extra time beyond what they already do for people that are already teaching and advocating. So I think learning to use these platforms is, like you said, it's a way to just massively expand our reach beyond the small audience that we may have to a much wider audience. And we meet people that we would never have met otherwise and find great collaborations and synergies there that really can lead to wonderful future collaborations and papers and research and who knows what. So I think that's the beautiful thing, is it's really brought the global community of pathology. It's made it much smaller and much closer together. You know, it used to take people decades to build a global network of colleagues, and I'm 5 years into practice, and I know thousands of people around the world easily because of Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, all of it.
Well, Dr. Jared Gardner, I'm honored to be one of those, to be a friend and colleague, and late adopter though I am, I also thank you for ushering me into the 21st century. Is there anything else that you would want our listeners to know that we've not discussed so far?
I guess for those, for pathologists or any medical professional that wants to get involved in social media, I actually have a social media guide on my website. If you just Google social media guide pathologist, it will pull up as the first thing. And I basically put there kind of all of my collected knowledge about here's how to get accounts set up, here's how to avoid problems, here's how to protect patient privacy, all the questions and concerns and worries that I've heard people express. I try to answer all of that there. So I really try to make as much as I can a kind of 101 guide to help walk even brand new users into the process. And I think the next thing is just, you know, recognizing that this is powerful and important and being willing to adapt to a new way of teaching and a new way of interacting that maybe seems foreign and strange. But if we want to impact the next generation, we have to speak their language and we have to be present where they are for us to have an impact on them. And I think that we all want to have an impact.
My thanks today to Dr. Jared Gardner, Associate Professor of Pathology at the University of Arkansas, for talking with me about social media and medicine. And as always, for more information, visit our website at wuky.org. With health news you can use, I'm Dr. Greg Davis on Medicine.
Dr. Greg Davis is a forensic pathologist at the University of Kentucky. He volunteers his time to bring important medical news to the community. You can hear more of his programs at wuky.org.